Welcome to a news experience designed to empower you to think critically and form your own opinions. In this episode, I present the latest top stories by weaving together coverage from a variety of news outlets, offering you a balanced view of the facts and perspectives. My goal is simple: inspire you to be your own judge in the complex world of news without any sensationalism or antics. By hearing different angles, you'll have the tools to make thoughtful and balanced decisions about the stories that matter most. If you find value in this approach, please like, share, and subscribe to stay up to date with my future episodes. Let's navigate the news together. It's time to dive into a shocking story out of Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, where police have nabbed a suspect accused of setting the governor's mansion ablaze while Governor Josh Shapiro and his family were fast asleep inside. Fox News says the fire ripped through the historic residence, forcing a dramatic evacuation in the dead of night, and it's got everyone talking about safety and motives. It's a tense moment for the state, and both sides are weighing in. Well, what's the deal? Fox News reports the blaze broke out at the governor's residence on North Front Street, a sprawling 29,000 square foot mansion that's housed governors since the 60s. State police say they arrested 38-year-old Cody Balmer of Harrisburg, pinning him as the arsonist who sparked the fire around 2 a.m. during the first night of Passover, right after Shapiro and his family celebrated a Seder dinner. Governor Josh Shapiro told reporters, "We woke up to bangs on the door from state police. This kind of violence isn't okay." The Harrisburg Bureau of Fire put out the flames, but not before serious damage hit part of the mansion. No one was hurt, thankfully. What's the backdrop? The Associated Press says Balmer's facing hefty charges, attempted murder, terrorism, aggravated arson, and assault on a protected person. Authorities claim he hopped a fence, broke in, and used homemade incendiary devices. Reuters notes police called it a targeted attack, though they're still digging for a motive. Some wonder if Shapiro's Jewish faith played a role, given the Passover's timing, but nothing's confirmed. The Washington Post adds Shapiro, a rising Democratic star-eyed for 2028, has been a vocal Trump critic, suing his administration three times. Could that be a factor? No clear answers yet. How's it splitting? Fox News says Republicans like former Governor Mark Schweiker are slamming the act. Schweiker called it a despicable act of cowardice, urging unity. GOP Representative Dan Muser echoed that saying, "Violence has no place in our politics." But CNN has Democrats like Representative Malcolm Kenyatta framing it broader. "This is an attack on our values," he said, tying it to rising tensions. The New York Times notes some conservatives are skeptical, questioning if it's a one-off or part of a pattern, while NPR says Shapiro is staying defiant, vowing not to be deterred in his work. Both sides are firm, condemn the act, but spin its meaning. What's next? The Blaze says the investigation's full steam. State police, backed by the FBI, are combing for clues. A $10,000 reward was offered pre-arrest, showing how serious they took it. The Wall Street Journal reports Shapiro's splitting time between Harrisburg and his Abington home. Security's likely tightening. It's a wake-up call. Will this spark broader safety debates or stay a lone incident? Now let's jump into a hot debate brewing in Washington. House Speaker Mike Johnson pushing back on whispers that Republicans might hike taxes for the wealthiest Americans. Fox News says Johnson, the Louisiana Republican, made it clear he's not thrilled about a rumored plan to bump up the top tax rate for those making over $1 million a year, calling it a tough sell for the GOP's low-tax mantra. It's a glimpse into the tense fight over Trump's big tax agenda, and both sides are staking their ground. What's the deal? Fox News reports Johnson spoke on Sunday morning futures with Maria Bartiromo, addressing buzz that some House Republicans are mulling a top rate climbing to 40%, up from 37%, to offset Trump's massive tax package. He told Bartiromo, "We're the Republican Party for tax reduction for everybody. That's a principle we try to live by." Associated Press notes that this comes as Trump's pushing a $4 trillion-plus plan, extending his 2017 cuts, nixing taxes on tips and overtime and more, set to expire at the end of the year. Reuters says the rumor's tied to budget talks. GOP's got a slim 218 to 215 House edge, needing near unity to pass anything. What's the context? The Washington Post says Johnson's navigating a tightrope. Hardline conservatives want deep spending cuts, like $1.5 trillion, to balance the tax plan, while moderates fret over deficits. The Nonpartisan Committee for a Responsible Federal Budget pegs Trump's cuts at $5 trillion over a decade. The New York Times adds the top rate hike idea, floated by some GOP aides, not members, would hit incomes over $1 million, raising maybe $100 billion tops, barely denting the cost. NPR notes Johnson's eyeing consensus, needs 218 votes and 51 in the Senate, calling the next few weeks critical for talks. How's it splitting? Fox News has GOP loyalists backing Johnson. Representative Tom Emmer told them, raising taxes isn't our brand. We cut, not add. They argue it's about growth, lower rates, fuel jobs, not government. But Democrats see an opening. Representative Hakeem Jeffries told CNN, they're dodging the math. Tax cuts for the rich blow up the deficit. Critics say the GOP's stuck, can't fund Trump's plan without cuts or hikes. Both risky with voters. The Wall Street Journal warns it's early, committees are hashing it out, and Johnson's no-fan line keeps him sticking out and sticking open. Both sides are firm, stick to cuts or face reality. Well, what's next? The Daily Caller says Johnson's playing it cool, told Bartiromo to stay tuned for a deal. House is back from recess soon, and budget talks are heating up. The Associated Press notes Trump's loud keeps pushing his big, beautiful bill for tax relief, but Johnson needs every vote, and moderates might balk if it's all give, no pay. It's a gamble. Will the GOP hold the line or crack under pressure? Now it's time to dive into a fiery war of words out of Washington. Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth is firing back at House Minority Leader Hakeem Jeffries after a sharp jab that's got everyone talking. Fox News says Hegseth called out Jeffries for labeling him and other Trump appointees dumb effing individuals, arguing it's proof the Democrats have lost their way. It's a clash that's heating up fast and both sides are staking their ground. What's the deal? Fox News reports Jeffries took a swing in a video twisting the DEI acronym Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion into dumb effing individuals to slam Hegseth and Trump's team. He was railing against a Naval Academy library purge that axed nearly 400 books, including works on slavery and the Holocaust, while keeping Hitler's writings. Hegseth, appearing on Sunday Morning Futures with Maria Bartiromo, didn't mince words. He told Bartiromo, "That's how far they've fallen. It's astonishing, not surprising." He tied it to his push to rip DEI programs out of the military, saying, "They don't like that we're making it colorblind and merit-based." The Navy confirmed the book removals were to comply with Trump's executive orders on DEI. Well, what's the context? The Associated Press says the Naval Academy's Nimitz Library, with over 590,000 books, pulled the titles to align with Trump's directive. Jeffries called it a whitewash of history, vowing to keep pushing until the ban's reversed and Hegseth is out. Reuters notes Hegseth's been a lightning rod. His Panama Canal deal to curb China's sway earned praise, but this book purge has Democrats up in arms. The Washington Post adds Jeffries' video wasn't just a rant. He's framing it as a fight against erasing civil rights and Holocaust lessons. Though critics question if he's overstating the ban's scope. How's it splitting? Fox News has Hegseth's allies rallying. Representative Dan Crenshaw told them, Jeffries, name-calling shows they're desperate. DEI's divisive and we're done with it. They see it as Democrats grasping at straws after losing ground, but CNN reports Democrats doubling down. Representative Veronica Escobar called Hegseth's purge dangerous, saying, "This isn't merit, it's censorship." NPR says the feud's deeper. Jeffries wants Hegseth gone, citing not just books, but a Signal chat leak. GOP counters, "It's a distraction from policy wins." New York Times notes some see Jeffries' blunt talk as a misstep, could alienate moderates. But while others cheer his fire, both sides are firm. Low blow or righteous stand? What's next? The Daily Caller says Hegseth's unfazed. Told Bartiromo he's focused on rebuilding the military with lethal technology like the F-47 jet. Not social justice wars. The Wall Street Journal reports Democrats are planning hearings. Might grill Hegseth on the library move. GOP's ready to defend. It's a verbal slugfest. Will it fizzle or fuel a bigger fight? Finally, let's dive into a major election shakeup out of Arizona. The state's kicking off a massive cleanup of its voter rolls, targeting as many as 50,000 non-citizens. Fox News says all 15 Arizona counties are now verifying registration and pulling ineligible voters, thanks to a lawsuit win by America First Legal that's forcing action. It's a bold move for election integrity, and both sides are squaring off over what it means. What's the deal? Fox News reports the effort stems from a lawsuit filed last year by American First Legal, representing EZAZ.org and Yvonne Cahill, a naturalized citizen and registered voter. They argued counties were ignoring a state law mandating proof of citizenship for state and local elections. Fox News quotes AFL's senior counsel James Rogers saying, "This settlement is a great result for all Arizonans." The suit claimed nearly 50,000 federal-only voters, folks who didn't show citizenship proof and could only vote in federal races, weren't properly vetted. Now counties are teaming up with the Department of Homeland Security to check everyone's status. What's the context? The Associated Press explains Arizona's law, upheld by a 2013 Supreme Court ruling, lets people register for federal elections by checking a citizenship box, but state and local races require hard proof, like a birth certificate or passport. Reuters says these 50,000 federal-only voters were flagged for not providing that proof. Counties must now run monthly checks to confirm citizenship or cancel registrations. The Washington Post notes some confirmed citizens will move to full voting status. Others, if non-citizens, get the boot. AFL's push forced counties to tap DHS databases, something they hadn't fully done before. How's it splitting? Fox News has GOP leaders cheering. Rogers told them this will help find and remove any aliens on the rolls, framing it as a win for fair elections. Supporters say it ensures only citizens vote, especially after Trump's fraud claims. But CNN reports Democrats like Representative Raul Grijalva calling it a witch hunt. He argues it risks purging legit voters like Native Americans or elderly folks who lack easy access to documents. NPR says critics, including Arizona Secretary of State Adrian Fontes, warns of errors. Fontes told NPR, "These are mostly eligible voters. We need care, not haste." The New York Times notes the timing. Midterm prep's heating up, and this could shift local races. Both sides are firm. Clean rolls or voter scare. Well, what's next? The Daily Caller says counties are moving fast. Maricopa alone has thousands to review. Those confirmed as non-citizens face cancellation, while citizens get full ballots. The Wall Street Journal warns it's a slog. DHS checks takes time, and lawsuits might follow if mistakes happen. The Blaze says AFL is eyeing other states. Could this spread? It's a high-stakes cleanup. Will it lock in trust or spark a fight? I appreciate your time, and I know it's valuable. Thanks for spending some of it with me today. Please let folks know that we're here so we can reach a wider audience. As always, stay informed and stay balanced.